Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Proverbs chapter 1, we find two distinctly different kinds of people. In verse 22 and 23, we read, quote, "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you." Which kind of individual are you? Do you still follow the ways of the world and the things of the world? Do you still engage in them? Or are you consistently repenting of the areas of your life that are not in line with Jesus, that you might know him better and have greater revelation of who he is? Let's open our Bible now that we might determine whether we are a Proverbs 1 verse 22 or verse 23 man or woman. Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas. And man, I know I say this a lot. You've been hearing this a lot, but we had a really good Bible study with, we had a smaller group this morning of the Kingdom Discipleship leaders. It was just myself, Tom, our senior elder, Jesse, our other elder, and Stephen, who's a senior deacon. And as you know, is with me on all these teachings and, heads up the just all the media and stuff. And, my son-in-law, Nathan, and my daughter, Kristen, they work very hard too at the media. A lot goes into getting these teachings out. But one of the things that goes into them is having Bible study, coming together as brothers and studying the Word of God. And I always get so excited when the guys get it, and when we all come together and we want to really apply what we've learned. You know, Bible study is, again, it's a tool in our toolbox that's so incredible. We have a Bible, and we don't really get how big that is. Big, okay? We have the living Word of God. It's a blessing that's incomprehensible. And I mean, it's like we live our lives, y'all, where, you know, we're going to talk today, really, we're going to focus on one verse, but it's like we want to live, even as Christians, right? We still want to absorb the ways of the world or the thoughts of the world or the principles of the world. That'll never, ever work. I did a short that'll go out, you know, at some point, just about, do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Son of God? Do you love the ways of Jesus? Or are you a Proverbs 1:22 man or woman? Okay, you want to be a Proverbs 1 verse 23 man or woman. But the vast majority of the church is a Proverbs 1 22 man or woman. Hence, we need the repentance of verse 23. But coming together in just, and again, being a part of Bible study, going to church is a good thing. Okay. Church was different. The current church model is, somewhere around 300 years old. Okay. Where, and it's fine. It's good. You go, you come together, you sing some songs, you have praise and worship, and then you listen to one man speak for around 45 minutes. Today in Bible study, or what some people have in life groups, and if you can find one where you come together around the Word of God, and you just interact together on the Word of God. The early church would have been more like that. Now, obviously, today's church, we don't interact at all. You listen to one man speak. Hopefully, he's giving a good, sound, strong, expositional, Bible-based sermon and teaching where, he's reading the Scripture, he's explaining the Scripture, teaching the Scripture, and then he's hammering it home that we need to apply that Scripture, that you need to live out that Scripture. That's a good thing. But in Bible study, you get to come together and tear it apart and ask questions. A good Bible study leader facilitates a discussion. Okay. And today we, you know, the guys did a really good job, Tom and Jesse and Stephen, as I facilitated in answering the questions and, you know, in bringing, you know, relevant things to the discussion. And the reason it's so good is we're talking about real life things. We're asking one another, and the men are being candid about the ways that they need to improve. They're being candid about the areas of their Christian walk that they're not really walking in a way that's really fulfilling and pleasing to Jesus, ways that they need to improve. And y'all, that's what it's about. And we're going to see that in today's featured verse, which is, again, Proverbs 1, verse 23. But man, let's roll. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, your grace, your wonder, your love on our lives. Father, we thank you for this incredible Bible. We thank you that we have the living word of God at our disposal. Forgive us, Father. Convict us, Holy Spirit, as to the incredible, overwhelming, life-changing blessing we have at our fingertips. But Father, more than that, more than even the word of God, we thank you for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King in God. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we worship you, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. We thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us now as we open this Bible. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. All right. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, remember what I said. I said that regrettably, the majority of the church are Proverbs 1, 22 men and women. And how I see that in my life at times, forgive me, Lord, when you what you want to be is a Proverbs 1:23 man or woman. So open to that, open to Proverbs chapter 1. And look, let's look, we're going to look at verse 22 and the principles therein. And we're going to look at verse 23 and the principles therein. And this is what we discussed this morning. The word this year, the kingdom discipleship word, the exciting, pregnant word, is principle. Okay? The Proverbs, the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, all throughout the scripture, but particularly in the Proverbs, the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, we see principles. Principles are general rules that the Lord has written into the fabric of humanity, that if you will follow them, then the results will follow positively and negatively. Okay. Now they're different than a promise. Okay. A promise is an absolute. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. Now, obviously, when you call on the Lord, it has to be sincere. It has to be genuine. You can't just be pumping in words and think that you're saved because you just, you know, you said some words. It's not our words that save us. But if you go before Jesus, recognizing yourself as a hopeless, desperate, wretched, hell-bound sinner in need of a Savior, knowing and believing that Jesus Christ is your only hope for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from an eternity in hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die, you go before him knowing all that and call out to him from that place, asking him to save you, to come into your heart, to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sin, to bring you to heaven when you die, it's a promise. You will be saved. It's a promise. Now, principles are different. Principles are things that, you know, that if you have a lifestyle of following these certain practices or rules, as a rule, they will come to pass, right? The Bible teaches that if you're a giving person, if you're a generous person, if you're thoughtful to others, if you have a concern for the poor and needy, if you give to the work of the kingdom of God, you will be blessed. Okay. Now that principle has to be a lifestyle. Okay. It's not something that you do once and then you wonder why you're not seeing the blessing and the floodgates of heaven open up. It has to become who you are. Right. Now, what's important to understand is as we're applying the principles, you know, sometimes the Lord is working on other things in our lives, on other principles in our lives. He's working to get us to follow other principles. So sometimes we may not have eyes to see the blessing of where we're walking out other certain principles, right? So it's very profound. There's much to get into here. But here's some principles for you, okay? In Proverbs chapter 1. Now, I've asked you, are you a Proverbs 1:22 man or woman? Which we all are at some level. But hopefully you're growing to be a Proverbs 1:23 man or woman. Proverbs 1:22. Solomon asks, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Do you see? It's almost exhausting. Okay? Because in any way that you and I are not living our lives consistent with the Word of God, our Bible, and the Son of God, we become Proverbs 1, when Proverbs 1:22 men or women. Are you applying yourself more and more and more and more to the Word of God and the Son of God? Or do you still have just like much of your life that you go with the flow of the world and unbelievers or people in other religions? You can see it's exhausting, right? In our own life, examine yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You're going to become a Proverbs 1:23 man or woman, and your life is going to take off and change and have power and meaning as you consistently apply this principle more and more and more and more and more. You will see a transformation and a change as you get greater revelation from Jesus, as you grow to know him better, as you grow to love him more, as you grow to know his love for you more, as you grow to know his heart and his thoughts for you, as you get greater revelation, this whole thing gets more exciting and you just want to serve Jesus more. You want to love him more. You want to have a life of living for Jesus even more, loving for Jesus even more, giving for Jesus even more, and forgiving for Jesus even more. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Again, Proverbs 1:22. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? When you think about your life, are there still aspects of your life? I see them in my own life. Where you just clearly, simplistically, foolishly, still love certain ways in your life that are not biblical. And if none come to mind right now, that's a problem. Let's say you're a pastor or an elder or a teacher in the church and you don't see any of this in your life. Then you got a whole lot of it, okay? Because one of the One of the great truths of growing and maturing and growing up in Christ is you can see aspects in the scripture where you're like this. When you read the gospels, you don't just automatically assume that you're the righteous one in the gospel. Yeah, when you're reading the gospel and Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, a grown-up Christian knows and understands that you have aspects of your life that are like the Pharisees he's rebuking. But when you read that and you think it has nothing at all to do with you, that's a sure sign that you got a lot of growing up to do. That's a sign of blatant immaturity. Okay, when you're reading through the Gospels, and remember, Romans 15:4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, to instruct us. So you don't just read through the Bible, read through Bible stories, read through the Gospel accounts, and just say, man, that was cool. That's an interesting story. It's there to teach you. So when Jesus is speaking to the crowds, or he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he's rebuking them, you want to examine your own life, because you're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. You may not know this, but you and I are much more like the people he's rebuking than him himself. Because as he's rebuking them, he's sure as heck rebuking you and I, as we're getting to here in Proverbs 1:23. I'm going to read that now, because the verse is looking to give birth to a life of power and meaning and purpose and love and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Proverbs 1:23. If you had responded to my rebuke, and there's that word, if you had responded to my rebuke, the Lord says, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Look at how exciting that is. Do you see that principle right there? If you will begin today to examine your life and see the areas of your life that are not in line with the Word of God, the areas of your life where you're really a simple one who loves your simple ways, you still delight in mockery as a mocker yourself, and a fool that hates knowledge. You gotta love the words here in the Proverbs. Because most of us think, you know what, I know there's knowledge that I should have about Jesus and about the Word of God and the Son of God, but I don't know if I hate it. No. You either love it or you hate it. Uh-oh. We'll get kicked out of church saying this. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? Yep. Again, if you're just consistently, you know, absorbing or agreeing with the ways of the world, the things of the world, anything contrary to the Word of God and the Son of God, your Bible, then you love the other way. You love the ways of the world. How long will mockers delight in mockery? You know, sometimes it's very, very hard. If we're mistreated, we just want to mock, right? And when we do this, we're mockers that delight in mockery instead of just receiving correction, receiving rebuke, right? Again, even it's hard if we're insulted or disrespected to not be insulting or mocking or disrespecting in return. But no, we just keep doing it because we love those simple ways, right? Let me give an example. If someone corrects you or rebukes you about something, and there's any truth in it at all, are you willing to acknowledge the truth, or you just take offense at, you know, because you believe that, you know, that's not true. I do this. We all do it. Okay. And I'm talking about deep principles now. This is not for the babies. Okay. Examine your heart. Right. Steve and I were talking about this morning. It was really good. Because we, and the guys in the group, but we were talking about how, again, if someone says something to us and if we can find any truth in it, right? If there's just 10 or 20% truth in it, even if they're missing, you know, and I'm a baby, I have this problem. You know what I mean? But my wife will consistently point out things, and she's right, that I need to improve on. Okay. Now there's, you know, there's a dozen areas that she's not seeing where I am improving and that I am doing better. And she doesn't seemingly appreciate that as much as I like, because I'm a baby there too. You know, I want her to see all the ways I'm just being amazing, right? But instead of saying, well, no, I'm doing this, 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 right? I'm like a fool. Why don't I just say, sweetheart, you're right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I do want to improve. And if you know, if I did that, boy, the door of blessing would open to me. I mean, the biggest thing that bars, there is a bar. You know, picture a door you're trying to get into and you put a bar across it, right? You ever seen those doors that there's a bar that grows across the door and you can't get in? Well, the door is barred because we're still Proverbs 1, 22 men and women. We just love. We're simple ones that love our simple ways. We are in love with simplicity and foolishness and mockery, okay? But you want to take the bar off the door and become a Proverbs 1:23 man or woman. If you had responded to my rebuke, the Lord says. Now, what's interesting is that he's going to be rebuking you. If you're not experiencing rebuke and correction from Jesus, then you're off someplace in your walk. Okay? Because every one of us, because you notice he didn't even talk about what you need to be rebuked about. He didn't even talk about where you need to be corrected. He's not even concerned with that. He's concerned with that. He's concerned. I'm all excited here. He's concerned about your response to his correction and rebuke in your life. When you read the word of God, or you have a brother or sister in Christ come to you and talk to you about where something's off in your life, how well do you do in properly receiving that rebuke or that correction? Do you respond to it well, or do you make excuses? I see in my own life, sometimes I make excuses. Sometimes we want to rationalize it. Oftentimes, we don't like the source it comes from, right? You know. Sometimes the Lord is rebuking me and correcting me, and I see this in my own life constantly. If you're a preacher and you're not seeing this in your life again, there's something wrong, right? Because often the Lord is going to rebuke us or correct us, you know, from places we wouldn't like or from people that we least want to receive it, right? It's one thing to receive a rebuke from, like, you know, a man or woman of God that you know is substantially ahead of you in Jesus and is loving you in Jesus and is poured into your life and explains to you that there's some things wrong. But I mean, man, I'll tell you, the places that the Lord chooses to bring correction or rebuke in my life, I mean, I happen to be the most blessed man that, you know, that as someone that this is my job, I teach the word of God, a pastor, all that stuff. I got a lot of people that are comfortable in sharing with me things I need to improve on. And you know, there's in almost all of them, almost all that they're saying, there's truth. And so I want to do a better job in just when they share or when the word of God shares with me, just responding properly. Because if you had responded to my rebuke, the blessing that comes if we will respond to Jesus correcting us, whether it's directly from the Holy Spirit convicting us for the word of God, or the Holy Spirit using someone else to do it, to speak into our life. If you had responded to my rebuke, look at the two blessings that come from this. I would have poured out my heart to you. Is there anything better? Is there anything in our lives that's more valuable than Jesus pouring out his heart to us? But it's conditional. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Oh my goodness. if we will begin to practice this principle of really, you know, abandoning our simple ways that we love because we're simple ones, just getting rid of all the mockery in our life, all the sarcasm, just all the pitifulness, and just being fools that hate knowledge. Fools hate correction. Fools don't like this message. Okay? We just want a message that tells us how much Jesus loves us. That's true, he does. But if every single week all you want to do is go to church and hear how much God loves you, you're going to stay a baby your whole life. Okay? That's something you ought to know as a baby Christian. Okay? And I've said this before, okay? You want to get the generic word God out of your vocabulary. It's your heavenly Father that loves you. It's God the Son, Jesus, that loved you so much. Jesus, not generic God, that he willingly entered this world for you. Lived a perfect, righteous life that you could never live, I could never live, was tortured on the cross, hung there naked for you and I, tortured, violently abused, took a punishment and a torture that we deserved, you and I, and then was raised from the dead. That was Jesus. And it's God, the Holy Spirit who actually lives in us, goes with us everywhere and has to put up with me all day, every day. I mean, that's inconceivable. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in believers and is always with you and sees everything we do right and everything we do wrong. Begin to be a Proverbs 1:23 man or woman today. If you had responded to my rebuke, examine your life. Ask other people to help you to examine your life. Begin to read the Word of God more. You ought to be able to think of three or four things even now. And again, it's our pride that keeps us from seeing these things. In my experience, seeing it in my own life as a minister and a leader and a pastor and an elder, it's the church leaders that have the hardest time seeing this, seeing in their own lives. You know, the pride, the arrogance, the presumption, the frivolity, and who are the least willing to often receive the rebuke. And it's shameful that we're like that. We kind of think we got it figured out. We think like we're the bosses. We're the ones that kind of do the teaching and the commissioning, right? We're the, quote, authority. Here's another thing. There is certainly spiritual authority. Remember, it's given, never taken, okay? And the men who have the most authority or the women who have the most authority really don't want it. They don't want to be controlling your lives, okay? But they're willing to do it. But always be leery of someone who talks too much about authority, because clearly the ones who talk about it the most generally have it the least. If you had responded to my rebuke, okay? So I'm saying this, we're talking about this, that obviously this is for all of us as Christians and as Christian leaders, there's nothing more important for us. Jesus is rebuking us first, okay? If you had responded to my rebuke, I'd have poured out my heart to you, and made my thoughts known to you. What is worth more than knowing the heart of Jesus and the thoughts of Jesus, getting deeper revelation into who Jesus is? So begin today. Respond and repent again over all the ways. Ask others to help you. Begin to read your Bible more. Read through the book of Proverbs. And when you see things are out of place, that's the Lord rebuking you and correcting you. And you'll begin to know the heart of Christ more. You'll begin to know the thoughts of Jesus more. And man, how much we have the mind of Christ, right? There's bumper sticker Christianity, right? I had a mind of Christ, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we had the mind of Christ. Yeah, we do. If you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ, but it doesn't mean you're using it. All day long, I'm still in my own mind. Anytime you're frustrated, ever, Anytime you're dissatisfied, anytime you're not thinking according to the word of the Son of God or the Word of God, you're not using the mind of Christ. You're in your own mind. Okay? So having the mind of Christ and using it are different. Which one are you going to be? You want to keep being a Proverbs 1:22 man or woman? Or can we change together? Begin today to be Proverbs 1:23 men and women that respond to the correction of Jesus, that we might know his heart more, that we might know his thoughts more, that we might know him more, to know Christ, to have deeper relationship with Jesus, with Jesus. Your relationship is with Jesus, your heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. There is no relationship with the generic being God. So you want deeper relationship with Jesus and with your heavenly Father and with the Holy Spirit. And that'll happen as you respond and correct the ways you're not like him, the ways you're not thinking like him, speaking like him, and living like him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us. I was going to say, I beg you. I just plead that you help us. Help me to repent of loving our simple ways as simple ones, of being mockers that delight in mockery, and being fools who hate knowledge. Help us understand that if we don't love it, we might as well hate it. Help us to love it, Lord. Help us to respond, Holy Spirit, to the rebuke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Lord Jesus, we want to know your heart for us more. We want to know your thoughts, Lord. We want to know you more. We want a deeper revelation of who you are. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. We ask you to seal this to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.